Book of Daniel this evening, Daniel in chapter 7. We're going to read verses 15 through the remainder of the chapter. The Bible says, I, Daniel, was grieved, and my spirit in the midst of my body. And the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, different that is, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to challenge times and laws. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings that you give us. And God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. We ask that you would help us to be found faithful to you. I pray tonight that you would help me to be faithful in preaching and teaching your word. God, I ask that you would just prepare our hearts. I pray we'd have a right spirit, and I pray that all we do would just be for your glory. Now lead us, guide us, and direct us. For the name of Jesus we pray and ask these things. Amen. Well, a couple weeks ago we went over Daniel chapter 7. Verses 1 through 14, we'll do a little review of that. You find in verses 1 through 3, kind of the preface of the chapter, or the beginning of it. Here we find that there was, of course, where Daniel had a dream, and he told what the dream was about. He talked about the four winds that came upon the sea, how four beasts came out of this sea, and then how the blowing of the sea and the beast from the sea picture the world in turmoil because of sin, and of course the rulers that come from this mess and this chaos to dominate mankind. Then we find in verses 4 through 8 the four great empires that's shown there in this image. The four beasts, or the four great empires, are described as four vicious beasts. First of all, we found the first beast was a lion that had eagle's wings. You find that in verse 4. This lion was considered the king of beasts and the eagle the king of birds. And Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar was the king of nations. Now, also understand the second beast was a bear with three ribs and raised up on one side. This is talking about Media Persia. The silver part of this image, it represents the great armies of Media Persia that devoured kingdom after kingdom, and raised up on one side portrays the fact that Persia became the dominant of the two Media-Persian nations that formed the second empire. The third beast was a leopard that had four wings and four heads. This is found in Daniel 7:6 as a portrayal of Alexander the Great in his speed in conquering nations. Now, there's some others that people would say that it could have been representative of at this time, but I certainly think this fits with Alexander the Great. But talk about his speed in conquering nation after nation. He died in his 30s and his empire was divided among the four heads of his chief generals. Now the fourth beast was dreadful and terrible. Had 10 horns and then a little horn. This is found in verses 7 and 8. And this was not called by any animal of the animal kingdom. Apparently it was too horrible to compare to an animal. The fourth beast pictures Rome and its cruel government. And the climax of this shows comes in the 10 toes, which are spoken of. Here is 10 horns and the little horn, which portrays the Antichrist. And of course, that part, I certainly believe, is future. Now, verses 9 through 12, we find where you find some of the judgment that was cast upon. It said in verse 9 through 12, we'll read there, it says, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east, toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the horn," or the host, excuse me. "And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered." Now we'll read verses 13 and 14 too. "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Now, verses 9 through 12, it talks about here the judgment. The beast was slain, taken away. Evil is taken to task by the great judge of the earth. Of course, that's God himself. And this part of Daniel's vision shows that God will eventually bring to judgment all those that are evil empires that wish to mock God. Understand, God is not mocked. He will not be beaten down. He will not be conquered. He will take care of it all. And though there were great empires, understand, they still yet had to face God. Now we find the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. The books were open. Here's talking about the judgment. And judgment time had come, and the scene changes from the conduct of the empires to the court for the empires on which they answer to God about their conduct. And understand, this is going to be true of every one of us. Remember in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Just as those nations, just as those empires have to be judged, so will every man who is mocks God and does not turn to Him in faith, in repentance and faith on this earth. Now, there's two things we want to notice about this court, if you will, or this judgment. First of all, the judge. Who is the judge? He is the Ancient of Days. God is described in terms of His eternity. And understand this. This description of Him shows one of pure and holy character. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. God, on his throne, pure and holy, no man can mock him, no man can stay his hand. Here he is sitting in his place of rightful judgment. But then notice the judgment. The books were opened. Here speaks of the fairness of divine judgment. Nothing is done by hearsay. Nothing is going to be brought upon someone because someone else said it, but it is going to be a person and a kingdom in particular here that is being judged by what they have done. Understand this. Everyone that stands before God will stand upon what they have done. Those who are judged by Christ in the sense that they're going to be judged for their punishment, they're already condemned to hell if they die without Christ. But the severity of punishment will be cast upon them. Now let me explain this here, okay? I certainly believe that a person that lives in deepest, darkest Africa, even if they die without Christ, they will die and go to hell. Because the Bible talks about that they have the witness of creation. It's what it talks about in Romans chapter 1. But understand this. Even though it's still going to be severe and it's still going to be terrible, it's not going to be the same, and it's not going to be as terrible for the person who dies without Christ and has had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to know Him. What a horrible thing it would be to be before God and have sat under gospel preaching for your whole life, or at least for several years, and to die without Christ. How horrible it would be to be someone that had literally a Bible laying on their table and they never picked it up to find out the true answer to eternal life. What a horrible thing it would be to be a person that knows, and they know it in their head, they even know it somewhat in their heart, that except they turn from their sin and turn to Christ, they are without hope, and still yet die in their sins. What a horrible thing that would be! And you know, I believe part of that punishment wouldn't just be the torment of everlasting darkness and flame. But I'm convinced that part of that would go back to having over and over again remembering the times and the opportunities they had. Remember? That's what Abraham said there in his bosom whenever he was talking to there in Abraham's bosom when he's talking to Lazarus, right? He told him, said, remember, thou had the good thing. I'm paraphrasing here. You had the good things. Man, you had the food, you had the friends, you had the party, you had it all. Remember, Lazarus was suffering. He didn't have any of that stuff. But now look where he is and look where you're at. What a horrible thing to have haunting your mind throughout all eternity while you're suffering and you're burning and you're crying and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm just describing what the Bible says. There's supposedly a Catholic priest who come out in the last little bit and said, don't believe in hell. So that's something that the Catholic Church made up to scare everyone. Listen, hell was talked about a long time before the Catholic Church even came into existence. People know that. Matter of fact, I'd say this, don't listen to that priest. Because he's lying. But I know this. God sure is good. And the fact of the matter is, all that will turn from Him, or turn from their sin, and turn to Him in repentance and faith, and talk about repentance, all that's talking about is that you turn from your own wickedness, you turn from your sin, and you turn to Christ, believing that He did it all for your sins. It's that simple. Now, books were opened. They had seen that they were being judged fairly. Then we find the condemnation. Verse 11, it talks about the beast. The fourth beast was slain, given to the burning. He was slain. Let's go back to chapter 7. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. The fourth beast was so bad it was judged first, quickly and severely, compared to the other three beasts and empires. Understand, two principles of divine judgment is simply this, and it stands out here in this judgment upon the fourth beast. First, fatality, slain. Understand, death comes because of sin. Romans 6:23 tells us this. The wages of sin is death. If you don't get anything else out of this tonight, understand the wages of sin is death. Second, understand this fire. Burning flame comes upon those who are judged by God. Hell is a reality, and it is where most people will spend eternity. And God's final judgment for sin is fire. Remember this, folks. Remember, the Bible tells us, and I'm paraphrasing here, narrow is the way, straight is the path, and few there be that find it. Actually, that's not the paraphrase. Few there be that find it. Too many times people want to go with the crowd. Understand, the crowd is wrong. The majority of this world, now listen, I'm talking about the majority of this world is wrong. They're following after sin. They're following after their own lust. Look at verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Historically, the first three empires, remnants of them, continued for a while after they were conquered by the other empires. But it was only for a season and a time. Now, this is something a commentator I read had to say about this, and I found it interesting. Here he talks about the compassion of God upon them. There was no compassion upon the fourth beast, right? But on the first three, He was gracious. He was lenient compared to how He was to the fourth beast. The more, and understand, the more you sin and the worse the sin is, the harsher the judgment. And the fourth beast was terrible. But God still yet, in His mercy and grace, was lenient to the first three. Now, verses 13 and 14. We find here in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now here we find that which follows the four beast kingdom is an eternal kingdom. That which follows now, listen up to that, make sure you follow that. That which follows the four beast kingdom is an eternal kingdom ruled by the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, the great prince, of course, and the Messiah of Israel. Now we look at verses 15 through 28. Now I wanted to make sure you had the background for those and so forth, and certainly think it was definitely needful. But now I want you to look at verses 15 through 28. What is that talking about here? What is this speaking of? Well, I want you to notice a few things. First of all, look and consider verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. So the things that he saw, he was very upset about, right? I mean, he was terribly upset about. He didn't know what to think, didn't know what to say. He looks like to me and sounds like to me that he was just absolutely mortified by all that happened. Well, notice this too. Verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the great things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. We talked about that already, right? Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. These saints probably include all believers of all ages, without a doubt. Then look at verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse or different from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. In other words, he was stronger looking. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days. Remember we talked about that there? Talked about that God in His judgment, the Ancient of Days, came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 23. Thus he said, the king. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue the three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Verses 24 through 27, Antichrist will march to power by subduing three of the ten nations. Verse 24, he will blaspheme God. That is verse 25. Now I want you to think about this. 20 years ago, would you have imagined the things that are on TV alone that blaspheme and mock God? I want you to think about this. Now I do understand there was a historical part to this, but I also believe that there's a future part to this too. I believe there will be some, there's some references here to the Antichrist. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, there is going to be, because it's already happening. Turn on TV, what you got going on? People mocking, people cussing God. Turn on Sunday night TV. No, let me rephrase that. Don't turn on Sunday night TV. Family Guy. I tried watching that once or twice. And I'll be honest with you, there are some parts of it that could be hilarious. One minute it'll be funny, and the next minute they're mocking God. They make fun of Jesus. They make fun of His virgin birth. And there are some connotations where they basically accuse Him of being gay. But yeah, I have heard Christian people talk about watching that and loving it. Can't do it. It's blasphemous. But you know what? How common is it now that people mock God? They don't care. You can call Him what you want, say what you want about Him. It's not just on TV. Be out in the community. And listen, as a United States citizen, a person has the right to believe or not believe, okay? I get that. And I'll be honest with you, as a United States citizen, I will defend their right not to believe. But understand this, as a human being, they do not. And one day they will give an account to God for their mockery or for their just out-and-out rejection of God. But notice this too. They will blaspheme God. They will try in some way to change times and laws in order to promote the Antichrist program. Notice that again. And to think, this is verse 25, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into His hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. They're going to try to change laws to make things permissible for them. What's going on? What's going on now? The homosexual agenda. I can't remember where it is. It is in Daniel. I'm just going to give you something to think about. And a place where it talks about the Antichrist, it talks about the Antichrist will not have a regard for a woman. Years ago I heard this, and I believe it was either Brother Sadler or another preacher I know. They said, Brother Sadler always said that he thought the world, one world religion would somehow or another have something to do. He said the Catholic Church might be a part of it. They said he believed Islam would have a lot more to do with it. Look what's going on now. Could be right. I don't know. But then, on the other part, he said, could it be that the Antichrist will either be homosexual or bisexual at least? What is one of the things that is most accepted nowadays? What is it that people are pushing now? Homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender, all that mess. Could it be? I don't know. But it sure does make more sense now than it did 20 years ago. I remember when Ellen was on TV, and she came out of the closet on her sitcom. Within a year, that show was off the air. The last year of President Obama's presidency, he gave her the Medal of Honor, or the highest honor you can give for a United States citizen that's not in the military, whatever that would be. Folks, Just like that old commercial, I believe it was years ago, you see it in the back of magazines all the time. Virginia Slims, you've come a long way, baby. We have too, but unfortunately it's not the right way. Our nation is going down to the pits. Understand, basically the rest of the chapter is explained, and we've already explained it from the first part. But basically, folks, this is what I want you to understand. Going to be tough times are coming. But we as God's people, we don't have to be children of the night, because we know. And we know that our God is victorious. I thank God for that as well. Let's all stand. Appreciate your all's attendance and attention. Remember, service is Sunday. I'm excited about Sunday.